The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Monday. Thanks for being with us. Albert Breer with the MMQB will jump on board. Albert Breer comes up at 10:20 following the Cardinals' win. DeAndre Hopkins being fed a lot yesterday by Kyler Murray. And just the overall view of what he saw here in Arizona. Also, Albert on the national space. The Redskins, there's my first faux pas on that. The Washington football team comes here this Sunday. Want to know what he thought of Chase Young. And then also Tom Brady in week 1 from Albert Breer's point of view. Always good to catch up with Albert. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union. I received a note over the weekend from Desert Financial Credit Union with just some general reminders about things going on with my account. And it's always good to have people looking out for you. I don't know about you. I'm on the run. I'm doing a lot. I have my business, my family, things to take care of, do this show, so on and so forth. So it's nice to have those people sitting there saying, hey, here's some things that are going on. It's great to have. If you swing into a Desert Financial Credit Union, at least for me, I've been greeted warmly, and I'm sure you will be as well. They offer me a bottle of water on the way out the door, go through the drive-thru. It's short, sweet, simple. Even when there's a line, it seems to always be moving. I don't know about you. I've been in those spaces where you're like, come on, guys, this should not be a parking lot. All right, Desert Financial Credit Union, they're all around the valley. That's Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support as title sponsor of Sports 360 AZ. Eric Sorensen is with us, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything or Nothing. What was your weekend like with a college football? Is that a big dog or a little dog?
It's a little dog. I don't know what her problem is.
Mailman. College football, pro football, what was your weekend like?
I thought the NFL was a better product than college football, and I don't say that often, but I wasn't really taken back by the results that we saw in the college football world. Really, Brad, I mean, let's not sugarcoat how big a win that was yesterday for the Cardinals. I mean, let's not even try to pretend that that wasn't a gigantic win.
First quarter looked like, man, this is going to be a long day, and they just looked like the better team. Look, if you had to choose Jimmy Garoppolo or Kyler Murray as your quarterback, come on, there's not even a question mark. If you had to look around the NFL yesterday, I took in a lot of NFL. I have been down on the NFL the last few years. The football in August stinks. They rip off fans in that month. There's no reason to have August football. And what do you know? Yesterday's games were clean, and they played hard. And it wasn't like, yeah, we're just trying to ease into the season. I was riveted yesterday to most every game that was on the screen. Even the end of the Bears-Lions game, okay? They switched from the Packers-Vikings over to the Bears-Lions. I don't know if you saw that. Running back for the Lions, because they're the Lions, has the ball right in his hands.
Right.
It's because they're the stinking Lions, and they're going to be here in another couple weeks. So, you know, that was interesting. It was interesting to watch Cam Newton and how he methodically went about his business. And Miami looks like they're better. You know, we didn't see the Tom Brady game being played here, but they cut in enough to see what happened. You know, Bruce Arians had a Bruce Arians type of game, jumping off sides, a little bit of, you know, penalties that we're not used to if you're Tom Brady. So I thought the product of the NFL, last night's game with Dallas and the Rams, was really good. I caught up to it around the third quarter. I had to get away and just go work out, go for a bike ride, clear my head. But, you know, the Cardinal game, just starting there, we don't start 1-0 in Arizona. We don't.
3-12-1 the last 4 years in September for the Cardinals. 3-12-1.
Well, now look, I know the 49ers are going to be saying, well, we didn't have our wide receivers. It's game one. I know that you're going to hear all that stuff, right?
I'm not buying it.
Like
that sounds like a 49ers problem. That doesn't sound like a Cardinal problem.
No, but in the Cardinals case, like Chase Edmonds and Kenyon Drake are a nice little 1-2 with Drake being the one. But Chase Edmonds does a lot of little things. Like Christian Kirk statistically didn't have much on the board yesterday, but it's still Christian Kirk, right? And so I look at their offensive line, they're better. Their defense wasn't a sieve after the first series. You know, you draft a player who gets burned and then doesn't get as many plays for the rest of the game, right? And when he is out there a couple times, you know, head on a swivel.
Right.
But he's going to get better. And
sure.
I didn't hear Patrick Peterson's name much because he was just blanketing. There was no reason to even go that way. Dre Kirkpatrick had some play. Like I can go up and down, but I just took it in as this is really good football. That's my biggest takeaway. If you're one of those people like, I'm not going to watch the NFL and I'm going to boycott, fine. But if you're a fan of the Seahawks today, you're thrilled. If you're a fan of the Chiefs today, if you're going to be one of those that says, I'm not going to watch, well, wait till your team is 1-0, 2-0, 3-0. And then everywhere you go is like, do you watch the game? Nope. I didn't even notice boycott yesterday. I didn't even notice protest yesterday. I didn't notice people taking a stand or not standing yesterday. I was watching the game.
Only on the Sunday night game. That's the only time that I saw it. Because NBC, of course, showed the anthem and they showed who stood and who kneeled and all that stuff. I think the one thing, Brad, that's so encouraging about the Cardinal game yesterday was the stars were stars. Nuke Hopkins, Chandler Jones, Kyler Murray, Larry Fitzgerald in several different ways, like you mentioned with Christian Kirk. Like Larry, just the play where he grabbed the ball and got to the line of scrimmage and they spiked it and he, you know, sprinted to the referee. Like those little things, that's what makes winning football. And it was just, the Cardinals look like a playoff team. I'm just going to say it. I know.
Wow, listen to you. Woo! This isn't Kool-Aid, but you've got Kool-Aid going today.
Last time I checked, the San Francisco 49ers were the defending NFC champions. And the Cardinals have been a horrible road team, okay? I'm just saying what I saw. And what I saw yesterday from the Cardinals was a playoff-type look.
And you didn't hear Bosa's name much, right? No. So the offensive line did their thing. I looked at yesterday, so Zane Gonzalez missing a couple field goals, right? Blown coverage. There's a few things. And you're always going to have a few things that you've got to work on. But the bigger deal is anybody who says we have to have games in August after what we saw over the weekend, you're kidding yourselves.
It was good. Like yesterday was really entertaining. I was over to a friend's house. He has the red zone and it was jumping all over and it was enthralling. It was refreshing. It was, like you said, it was good football. The players were actually putting in maximum effort.
No, you could see it. There's been Septembers where it's like they're just easing into this 16-week deal. And I don't know if it's because everybody's been pent up and they hadn't been able to hit anybody else. You know, last night watching the end of the Cowboys-Rams game, I was on the edge of my seat. It was clearly a pass interference call on Jalen Ramsey. I don't care how he tries to sell it. That's, you know, in L.A. today, it's like, oh, no, that was the right call. No, it wasn't. It was pass interference. That was a P.I. Let's be honest here. But, you know, they get away with it and... looking at the NFC West, Russell Wilson against Kyler Murray, how exciting is that going to be? You know, Russell Wilson yesterday, I get it, it's Atlanta, and their defense is trash. I understand that. But what Seattle did yesterday, so I look at big picture. They're going to play the 49ers again at the end of the year. Are the 49ers going to be a completely different team? Well, sure, just because they've gone through 16 weeks. All right. But they're 1-0 within the division with a road victory on the board. So I watched the Rams yesterday. Okay. They run the ball better because Todd Gurley's not sitting there wondering if his knee is healthy or not. And their wide receiving core is different. And you still have to deal with their defensive front. And then, the rest of the NFC, what I saw from Tampa was undisciplined. New Orleans is going to be there. If I'm going down the playoff run, like the Cardinals are... What would you say? One of the top eight teams?
As after 1 week.
In the NFC? If you're talking
after 1 week.
If you're talking power rankings in the NFC. Right?
Sure.
I think that's very fair to do. Is they to me were one of the top four or five teams. They to me looked like it was a better win for them on the road than it was the Rams at home beating Dallas.
Agree. Agreed.
It's a better win for them on the road at San Francisco than the Seahawks winning it at Atlanta.
You know, Dave Pasch made a great point. I know you had him on the show last week, but I heard some of the postgame show with he and Ron Wolfley, and he said, in the NFL, usually, the teams that play well in September usually play well at the end of the year. And I thought that was really different because the Cardinals have been such slow starters. They've always been looking up in a pretty tough division, the NFC West.
Right.
And he said, you know, if this team... And he looked ahead, and I think he should look ahead. They've got Washington, and then they have Detroit. Those, if you can beat the Niners, you should be able to beat the Washington Football Club and the Detroit Lions. No excuses, right? So maybe 3-0 if we're starting to look ahead.
Wow, listen to you.
Why shouldn't I?
You mean you're not paying attention to the Diamondbacks anymore? I mean, you're not excited about the Suns draft? I mean, you're not the Coyotes' new general manager.
When
the Pac-12's going to play or not?
Here's the deal: when the Suns get Giannis this offseason, I'm going to be so excited, and I know they're going to make the playoffs. Everything's going to be fine.
That's the best. Albert Breer is next. Then Eric and I are going to talk some college football and other things going on. That's on the other side with Albert Breer from the MMQB. Let's turn our attention now to the Arizona Cardinals and the victory over the 49ers and get a national view from Albert Breer, one of the best in the business, the MMQB. Go check out all the content there, the MMQB, senior NFL reporter for a couple of minutes. When you saw the Cardinals down early, I know you're watching every game, but first quarter to the end of the game, it looked like they figured it out in a big way. What'd you make out of the Cardinals first and foremost Sunday, Albert?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, the Cardinals were looking for from Kyler Murray early in the year was, you know, how he could compartmentalize when things don't go right and put his foot in the ground and turn around and play well as a result. And I think you saw that in the game in San Francisco. Like, early on, certainly the Niners were able to, you know, get in front, like, and a number of things went wrong for the Cardinals in the first quarter. And for him to be able to bounce back from that, you know, it's exactly what they were looking for. And to get DeAndre Hopkins involved the way they were able to get him involved right away, to be able to get a ton of different guys involved in the game, you know, I think that they saw exactly what they were looking to see from their young quarterback in week one. And it's just week one, but not a bad start for them.
DeAndre Hopkins, the focus on him so much by Murray. Did that surprise you, given all the other players that he could have gone to on that offense?
No, he's a high-volume player. I mean, that's who he was in Houston. You know, I think you look at his catch numbers and his targets in Houston, that's sort of how you involve him. And quite honestly, like, that's sort of one of the reasons why the Texans thought they might see some growth from Deshaun Watson moving away from DeAndre Hopkins, because they'd become so reliant on him over the last couple of years. But, you know, certainly is somebody that you want to go to early and often. And, you know, I think one of the things that really stuck out to me watching him, he looked faster. He looked faster than he did in Houston. And he's never been a burner, and he's never going to be, you know, a Tyreek Hill type of player. But, you know, at the end of the game, to see the way that, you know, on the catch and run, he was able to kind of defend, almost get in the end zone, you know, that got my attention. And so, guy who's like an always been a high volume player and always a good guy on being the center of an offense. And I think, you know, you saw maybe another year from Hopkins on Sunday that really tells you, you know, not only are you getting the player you had in Houston, but you're probably getting, you know, a motivated version of that guy too.
Albert Breer with us for a couple of minutes. Kyler Murray, year one, I know it was just one game in San Francisco, but he looks bigger. Anything look different to you about Kyler Murray?
Yeah, you know, I think the criticism on Kyler last year was probably that, you know, as good as the numbers look, there were some empty calories there. And, you know, obviously finished the season 5-10-1. I think there was a lot of good to take from it. But what you wanted to see was a guy who's capable of rallying a team and capable of playing from behind. And again, you know, like I said up the top, you know, being able to compartmentalize a rough patch and put your foot in the ground and move forward. And, you know, that was something that, you know, I know the coaching staff had talked to him about, And, you know, I think you saw it, like, you saw exactly, and again, they, you aren't planning for things to go haywire early on, but they didn't go well for the Cardinals in the first quarter. And so, you know, to be able to kind of have that situation arise right there in the first quarter of the first game, and to see Kyler respond, and the numbers were great, of course, but to be able to get those sorts of numbers in a spot when you're playing from behind, you know, again, you don't draw it up to look like the Cardinals looked in the first quarter, but you're playing against the defending NFC champions, and to be able to respond the way that he did, I think that's exactly what you were looking for from Kyler Murray early in the season, and to get it in week one's a bonus.
Albert Breuer with us, the MMQB. I'll bounce around a little bit and get you out of here. Senior NFL reporter. The football team in Washington comes to Arizona this next week. Chase Young looked like an absolute beast. What do you make out of Washington after 1 week? That's a terrific win for them.
Yeah, you know, that team's been through a lot. And so, you know, I think you look at the totality of the last few months and going through what they've gone through, whether it's the nickname, it's the two Washington Post stories, it's their owner being implicated. You know, the coach, you know, obviously Ron Rivera is a beloved figure there now, getting cancer. Those players have been through a lot, have had to answer for some stuff that really they had nothing to do with. And so, you know, I think seeing what they've gone through, seeing how there isn't a lot of recent history of winning with the guys who are in the building right now, and then falling behind 17-0 in the first quarter of the first game against a team that's made the playoffs 3 years in a row and won a Super Bowl pretty recently with a lot of guys who are still on the roster. To come back from that, I think, shows tremendous resiliency. And they saw that sort of resiliency from Dwayne Haskins, too, which, you know, I don't know that if you had asked Ron Rivera, you know, 8 weeks ago, 12 weeks ago, 16 weeks ago, I don't know that Ron Rivera knew that Dwayne Haskins had that in him. And so just to get that out of him, I think, you know, I think it says something about the job that Rivera's done in flipping the culture there a little bit. You know, and then you mentioned Chase Young. Obviously, that's going to be the strength of the team. And I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl. I don't think they're there yet. You know, it'll take a while from a team-building standpoint for them to get there. I do think there are similarities in what Chase Young walks into in Washington with what Nick Bosa walked into in San Francisco last year, where, you know, you've got a defensive line group that's got a lot of former first-round picks on it, and, you know, you bring in this sort of generational talent, and it supercharges everything. And I think you saw that last year, where Bosa helped the Niners get more out of DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead and Dee Ford and everybody who'd been there. And now you're sort of, I think, seeing the same thing happening in Washington, or at least the early signs of it, with guys like Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen and Ryan Kerrigan and Montez Sweat there. You add a talent like Chase Young to a group like that, and it can really take kind of, you know, a group that already had plenty of potential to a whole different level.
What did you make out of Tom Brady's performance on Sunday?
You know, so much of what Tom had in New England was based on trust and institutional knowledge and background. And, you know, one of the things that allowed them to operate at such a level, such a high level for 20 years was just, I mean, the offense had almost become bastardized because it had become so just kind of like form-fitted to who he is as a quarterback and what he's had around him. And he had so much, you know, background with so many of the guys that he played with there over the years. I think going to a new place is probably a little bit of a shock to the system for him. So, you know, I think you saw some good things, and I think you certainly saw he could still sling it. But you also saw, like, that the institutional knowledge that he thrived on wasn't there, and they've got a ways to go in that area. And the other thing that struck me was just some of the discipline issues they had, whether it's getting a field goal blocked, jumping off sides on a 4th-and-2, fumbling a kickoff. You know, some of these things are things that Tom's not used to dealing with, that they generally don't deal with in New England. And so I think watching his reaction to all of that over the next few weeks is going to be really interesting, because I think he's had an effect on everybody in the building. But now seeing that in a game and having to deal with that in a game, it'll be interesting to see how, as a leader, he reacts to all of it inside those walls.
As always, great insight. Appreciate your time, Albert. Stay safe. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
There's Albert Breer with us, the MMQB senior NFL reporter, and we're back with more after this timeout. Thanks again to Albert Breer for being with us. Eric is back on board. So while we're all excited here in Phoenix about where things are with the NFL and the Cardinals, on the college end of things, so the Big Ten met over the weekend. Pac-12 is still sitting on the sideline. There were cancellations, there were postponements, there were all that stuff. I thought the college games were underwhelming. And I don't know why that would be. Is it just younger players without the reps? Was it just not great teams? Was it?
No.
Like the Miami game on Thursday night was underwhelming to me.
Brad, we should have been watching Ohio State play at Oregon. I mean, we should have had these huge. We should have had USC and Alabama. Instead, we had Coastal Carolina at Kansas and Arkansas State at Kansas State, and the marquee game was Georgia Tech, Florida State. Like, and that's not even
that wasn't a great
marquee game at all. Yeah. No, it's not. Yeah, it no, it's just not. Spencer Rattler threw for 4 touchdowns. Good for him. He should. They're playing a team that Oklahoma should beat 100-0 every week.
Yeah, just, and Notre Dame's playing Duke, and it was weird seeing ACC on Notre Dame's field.
A little bit.
You know, and I know it's a 1-year deal, but yeah, I just felt like the college stuff had the feeling of why are we exactly trying to shoehorn this in? Even watching game day did not have nearly the same juice, the same excitement, the same anything about it. It just felt off.
Because what makes college football so great is the atmosphere. And when you take the atmosphere away from college football, to me, the game is still great. But when you're not seeing fans and you're not seeing mascots, you're not hearing bands and there's no tailgating and game day is doing it, you know, empty, essentially. Like, that's just not what college football is. But in 2020, that's what college football is.
But does it need to be? Like, I don't... Sure. I just kind of feel like with these college students and the numbers going up, that the Red Solo Cup crowd is not going to go away. And so the virus numbers are going up, and the crowd that says, well, we just have to learn to live with this. You're trying to tell 18, 19, 20, and 21-year-olds that are away for the first time to be responsible. That's not going to happen. Completely different than the NFL. And the resources the NFL has. Like, as much as we rip on the NFL, what an amazing, amazing job to see all these players out on the field. There was none of this list of COVID inactives. That may pop up this week. I don't know. But on the college end, I mean, it's just hard because you don't know, do I want to get excited for a game this coming weekend? Well, I'd kind of like to, but I don't know if Friday it's going to be, the game's canceled. And the NFL hadn't had any of that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was, you know, you and I talked a little bit on Sunday yesterday about this. I wasn't surprised that some of the Power Five teams lost because the group of five teams that beat them are really good teams. Like Louisiana beating Iowa State, sure, it's an upset, but it was only a 6.5-point spread. And Iowa State got 3 points as the home team. So Vegas thinks Iowa State's only 3.5 points better than Louisiana. So for everyone to go on ESPN and be like, oh my gosh, it's a huge upset. Yeah. If you know college football and you watch it closely, it wasn't a huge upset. It was an upset, though.
Well, Les Miles getting boat raced, that was an upset.
Not really. I mean, Coastal Carolina beat them last year.
It's like, just it's, bad.
It's not,
that
though.
Can't happen. That Kay can't happen.
Breaking in a new quarterback. Lots of variables.
I was surprised Texas didn't use Bijan Robinson more. I was really looking forward to that. I actually found a way to get the Longhorn Network. That's how desperate I was to see him play. And I feel bad for the kids out here. I saw Jaden Daniels put on Twitter, you know, we should be playing today. Mm-hmm. And so the anger is going to continue to build. And I don't know, this Big Ten story, this feels like the week where there's going to be some sort of resolution. on the Big Ten, and there's still those presidents are saying, yeah, Jim Harbaugh, your employee ID number is 01942. You're 01942. We don't care what you have to say.
And I totally agree. I mean, this isn't a decision for Coach Day to make at Ohio State. This isn't a decision for Justin Fields to make at Ohio State. Like, it's way above those guys. So when I see the, oh, well, Coach Day is going to do this to try to get Big Ten football back, it's like, cool. Like, let me know how that goes. You've got to go through all these different ranks of people that are way above you to even have them consider doing it. And it could happen, Brad. It could. But it's not just like a coach is going to wave his magic wand and like, okay, cool, we're going to start the season in 3 weeks.
No, but I think in Arizona, like in Arizona State's case, of all the teams out here on the West Coast, to me, Oregon having Tyler Shuck come in as their new quarterback, with Justin Herbert now with LA, and what Herm has done here, to me, are really interesting. The fact that Clay Helton gets to dodge Notre Dame and Alabama and keep his gig for another year, that's really interesting to me.
By default.
Yeah, I mean, Washington State, Mike Leach is no longer there. So while the storylines are pretty pronounced, and I would like to see it, and at some point we're going to see it. Is it in January? Or is it in November, or are they going to move it up to mid-October, and they're going to play some Big Ten teams? And will this all lead to conference annihilation? Like, I've sat over here for how many years? We've been doing this 8 years, saying, ASU, get out of the Pac-12 and get into the Big 12. And I'm starting to hear from people whose opinions I respect that the way these five conferences are laid out, it's not going to be that way anymore. It's not they're going to go to the Big 12, but there's teams in the Big 12 saying, what are we exactly doing here? Nebraska is saying, what are we exactly doing with the Big 10, right? Are we going to stick with these yo-hos or not? What is Maryland doing in a conference with Nebraska anyways? And so there's this whole, you know, is Notre Dame going to say, yeah, we'll go back to being independent next year, or will the dollars be so damn big that they're going to say, you know, the pandemic actually led us to change? It actually led us, and I think, Eric, I really think that in college sports, we are going to see massive, massive change. Like these coaches in the ACC saying, let everybody in the tournament. We talked about it last week. That's massive change. Yeah, Mike Krzyzewski saying, let's let everybody in. Well, what's that mean for college football? All these bowl games are going to go away. Good. But there's still going to be some that exist. Why? Players opting out. We never saw players opting out. In the last few years, all of a sudden, yeah, I'm too well to attend the bowl game. Are we going to see a mass exodus of players? So there's this whole confluence of change, I think, that's coming to college football because of the pandemic. And the person that's the traditional, well, I want to see Navy and Army on the first Saturday of December, good luck with that. Well, I want to see Notre Dame play USC because I'm the big Notre Dame guy with the cigar and the Bucks, and I've got my Notre Dame sweater on, and we all, no, that's not going to happen. Deal with it.
You know, if Notre Dame joins a conference, the conference that makes the most sense is the Big Ten.
Yes.
Geographically. Financially. You
TV
know, I don't,
market,
I'm,
Chicago I'm not, TV market, are you kidding me?
I'm not quite sure why. I mean, I guess they joined the ACC because the ACC is playing this fall. But we're going to see some radical changes. I mean, I hope – I like the conferences. I hope that the conferences stay as they are. But I'm not so closed-minded to think that we are going to see some teams merging or some leagues merging.
I mean, Notre Dame is sitting there. Here's why Notre Dame's in the ACC, because every team in the ACC gets cash from the NBC contract as part of the deal.
They
do. Every one of them is – so, of course, they're going to say, please come into our conference. We're going to snuggle with you in our conference because we've got NBC TV money. Never mind we're putting Mike Tirico and Tony Dungy and Jace Collinsworth together on the air to try to groom them for the NFL.
Such a boring broadcast. Oh my gosh.
But it's stale.
But
it's supposed to be because they're preaching to middle America and older Catholics who watch Notre Dame. That's it. That's the whole deal on that. Do not offend. Do not question. Everything is great with the Irish, and let's make this the biggest thing ever. That's the deal.
Yeah, the ACC,
free team to
the
base.
The ACC has to be really happy. I mean, in a year where athletic departments are just bleeding money, they're like, oh, yep, we'll take all those NBC dollars. Just bring them on in.
So, but like in Arizona State's case, okay, Phoenix is a top 15 television market. It's not Notre Dame. It's not Chicago. But what they're trying to do out here when they talk about being this brand, this Harvard of the West and all that nonsense, maybe it's not nonsense. Maybe they're trying to be like, why are we in a conference exactly where we have to play Washington State or Cal Berkeley or Oregon State? Why do we have to go to Corvallis, Oregon, when we have a great airport and we could go play Oklahoma in any sport? You know, so, and why... Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. ASU football has it figured out. They just have it all figured out. I mean, do you think it was a coincidence a day or two before September 1st when schools could reach out to recruits? ASU did this big, grandiose, really well done, really well produced video with Antonio Pierce basically driving downtown and saying, you can see Major League Baseball. You can go to Glendale 30 minutes away and watch the Cardinals. Sky Harbor Airport is one of the most accessible airports in the country. That's ASU thinking ahead, something they never used to do. Yes. So clearly, the blueprint is in place for ASU football, no doubt.
Okay, but they're still just barely above 500 in the Herm era.
They are, but...
And they go to the Vegas Bowl, and they go to the Sun...
But you know how it is when a new coach comes in. It takes a couple years to turn over the roster, and you cannot tell me that ASU is not a better watch under Herm than they were at the end of the Todd Graham era.
They're better watch than the Dennis Erickson era. They're better to watch than the Dirk Cutter era. They are really interesting to me in have a space where they can last a while. If Jaden Daniels goes down, they're screwed. I get it. I watched Joey Yellen and Pitt the other day. They're screwed. Most teams, when Trevor Lawrence goes down, Clemson's screwed, okay? That's the way it goes. And I know the hype machine at Arizona State is much different than it used to be. It used to be dealing with Arizona State was like having dental surgery without Novocaine. It used to be that way. Now, it's not that way. Now, it's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. It's very accessible, very good people. Some of the same people that all of a sudden had just have a different view. Trying to get anything out of the U of A, trying to have any cooperation out of the U of A, simply doesn't happen. Not just for us, but for anybody.
Which is interesting because, I mean, their football program has been
awful.
Well below average.
Awful.
The basketball program has underachieved.
And been part of NCAA.
And there's just not a lot of buzz coming out of Tucson. You would think, like you said, that they would want to, especially, you know, in a market like Phoenix where they have recruited some good players.
Yes.
You know, it's like you probably want to be as visible as possible in Phoenix.
But Eric, really, this is not this is not Alabama-Auburn in the rivalry.
Of course not.
This is not Washington-Washington State. Like, people talk about how nasty and all that stuff the rivalry is. This goes back to me saying, if ASU wanted to go out and walk away from the Pac-12 conference, if they wanted to, this is the time to do it. This is where major upheaval is going to be. And this is a time where Texas may look around and say, why exactly did we do what we did? What's it been? The Longhorn Network's been in existence for 10 years, and it's still not easily accessible. You know, and there's teams that are sitting there in the Big 12 conference and the Big 10 conference and the ACC that are the haves and the have-nots.
But let's be honest, Brad, any Texas football game of significance is not going to be on the Longhorn Network. I mean, their game against UTEP was on the Longhorn Network, but OU, UT is not going to land on the network. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of see your point, but, you know, The big games are going to be pretty visible and pretty easy to find.
But if you're Ray Anderson, you're Herm Edwards, and you're Michael Crow, and you espouse to be the Harvard of the West, why would you not say, okay, right now in the middle of everything that's going on, hey, Oklahoma, hey, Texas, are you guys happy? Hey, look in the ACC. And I know it's geographic to a certain extent, But for crying out loud, the Big East almost had Gonzaga join them in basketball a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. People are looking at the television side of things. So why be in a conference where you have to have Vanderbilt? Why be in a conference where you have to have Kentucky? If it's Kentucky basketball, I get it. Kentucky football, are you kidding me? So television markets, to me, the business side right now, this is where my rant is on this. This is the time to do something. And I'm just very curious as I'm seeing programs obliterate sports as we've known it. Like the high school, I think we're going to roll through it. I think we're going to be okay. The pro sports are going to do what they're going to do. I think there's some owners that are going to say, yeah, I can't afford to be in this pro sports game anymore. And they'll wipe their hands and they'll walk away because of the pandemic and the economy. But the college part, that in between, that's the one where, boy, there's big changes coming. I just feel like.
And you would think, Brad, the way ASU football is now recruiting nationally, they would have no problem playing games in Oklahoma or New Jersey or Texas or Georgia or Ohio.
Wisconsin. Yeah.
Wisconsin, because they're landing kids from those states.
Those states. So. Yes. 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 No, you see, that's how I see it. All right. Our work is done here. We're going to head over and do some TV work now because we have our Football AZ show on Fox Sports Arizona. It airs Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and they even give us some other airings too. And we appreciate our partnership with Fox Sports Arizona. Eric, you have a great day. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. This show repeats over and over and over for the next 24 hours. Have yourself a great day.